Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school, you're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The ladies of Beverly Hills are still on their never-ending Hong Kong trip, and the drama continues. The whole reason for the trip was to visit the dog rescue, but it looks like shopping and accusations were higher up on the priority list. Lisa Rinna defends her accusations about Dorit, but was she just too mean? Kathy Schwartz from The Golden Bachelor joins me to recap this episode. This is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 7. Episode 17, From Dogs to Diamonds. Let's get into it. Hi.
Hi, Bethany.
Nice to meet you.
To meet you as well.
How is life?
Life is great. I have a request of you.
Oh, okay. Let's do it. Let's hear.
I hate to shop. Next time I'm wherever you are, will you take me to Marshall's, please?
Oh, yes. Or TJ. I know. It's crazy. This is crazy. People are obsessed with this. And it was like such a weird, like...
Oh, no. I've watched the ones in your closet. I mean, I'm just like, that's so not in my wheelhouse.
Thank you. That's so funny. So what's going on? Like, how's your life changed? Like, what's happening? What's the update?
So the update is... Everyone seems to have a date but me, but, you know, I'm getting used to that. Life is good. You know, I come home. The show was great fun. I come home to my three kids, two granddaughters, two geriatric cats, and life goes on.
Does life go on, though? How has life changed? Like, what is now?
So, you know, I've had some opportunities to do some fun things with iHeartRadio and some fun things with the Bachelor franchise. And, you know, a bunch of us are going to get together next week in Washington, the Golden Bachelorette in D.C. And I think it's just more having fun for me. I coming back from that show, I just realized that, you know, it sounds so trite, but every day is precious. And I just kind of like to have fun. So that's what I'm doing.
And how has the experience been and changed your life? Or like, what do you think about the experience?
I mean, for me... I knew pretty quickly that Gary and I were going to be in the friend zone. So for me, I was able to really quickly say, okay, this is going to be fun. This is going to be an adventure. And it was. And I made great friends. And I loved watching the, watching the machinations of the show and how they do what they do. And I came home with a bunch of friends. I mean, I didn't find the guy, but you know what? What were the
other? And do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Well, you're probably the only one in this country who doesn't know at this point, but I am 70. They put it up on when you're on the show. It's, Kathy, Austin, Texas, 70 years old.
So what is dating like? Like, what is that actually? Or is it does not exist? Or what is it? What's the real deal?
The real deal. I only speak. Trust me, I am a real reality person here. I haven't had a date since the show. I had been dating a guy up until about, 4 or 5 months before the show began. It's been about a year since I've had a date. I've got a couple of guy friends we do stuff with, but.
Do you feel like you have game? And what's your age range? When you were 23, you're like, oh, I want to be married by 25. And then you were 37 and you were breaking off an engagement or still single and hadn't had a kid yet. And then that, you thought you were old. And then you get, it's like Charlie Brown, the football keeps moving. And honestly speaking, I still feel young and not in a way that's like vitamin commercial, just literally. So I think sometimes we're delusional because we're not aware of how old we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's great that we feel young, but like you look at guys or girls and you think they're like around your age because you feel young, but they're not. They're much younger. They're living a different experience. So I'm asking you like what it really is like. Like, who do you feel like you could date and what are you looking for and what age range and like what is the real story with that?
Okay, so let me, by way of answering, let me just give you a little bit of my history. I was married at 20 years old, and my husband passed away by suicide almost 5 years ago. So I was married 46 years, just short of 46 years. So my situation wasn't that of dating in my 20s and 30s. You know, I had kids when I turned 30, and so I'm sort of living life in reverse because now I am dating and meeting people, not today, but in general. So my problem is, yes, I am 70, but I am incredibly fit and I do every sport I can do. And I love to travel and I have tons of energy. And most of the men, I've said it, I don't know if you've heard it, I call them used to guys. I'm tired of used to guys. They used to play tennis, they used to ski, they used to kayak, and now they sit on the sofa. So that's been my experience, that culturally, men want to date younger women. That's our culture, seeming for the most part. And men who reach out to me are older and don't really have energy. And that just doesn't work. So would I date a younger guy? Sure. But they're not reaching out to me. If they have any snap, they're looking at you.
Right. It's like it's a sliding scale. So I think though, there's probably like 7 to 9 years in each direction. Like, in other words, you could be with a young 78 and I think you could be with a 63 who's like confident and secure because they weren't looking at the number. They were looking at an app. They saw your picture and they just liked it. And then they were like, okay, let's try this. You know what I mean? It's a psychological game, I think. I find that men who have more than one child and who have been through it don't want someone too much younger because the references are different and like it seems like another bowl of aggravation.
Well, I would like to agree with you, but that has not been my experience. When I was on the dating apps up until, right before I went on the show, I never had younger men reach out to me unless they were 35 and they wanted to be my child, which is a whole different conversation. I didn't have younger guys. Most of the men that reached out to me were 69 to 80.
Okay. Yeah. I get that. That does track. That makes sense. I'm thinking, and also, there's something to be said for like all of a sudden, like a 61-year-old reaches out to you, you're walking in insecure, you're already thinking about it. Like that's annoying too. Feeling like there's like a chip on the shoulder of it. You know what I mean? Like you're thinking.
I do, but I will say I'm a very confident, secure person. So that really wouldn't bother me. What I'm looking for may or may not be found, but I'm okay. I had to get okay I wasn't okay when my husband first died, but I've gotten good being by myself and living my life. And if, you know, I live my life the way I want to, and if the right person comes into my life, that would be great. But that is not my life goal now, to find a man.
Well, it's also interesting because you said you were married for so many years and you're just used to relationship. If you were someone who had spent many years single, it would be challenging wanting to go back in and be bound to someone. Like, in other words, you did that. Many friends that I have that are married say if they got divorced, they would never want to get married again. Like, they don't understand why. If you're not looking to have kids or there's some financial reason, they're like, why would I get married again?
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't get married. I'm just saying that I agree to some extent. You know, I have my kids. I have my life. And really, I don't want to cook. You know, do your own laundry, pick up your socks. I've played that game. So yeah. It would have to be a really special guy that had good energy and wanted to travel and have fun, because there's enough misery in this world that if you get the chance to go and have fun and live life, why not? Mm-hmm. But I just haven't met the guy.
Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting. I just think, and you're on the apps? Or you gave a break?
I haven't been on them since I came back.
You just don't want it. It's depressing.
I'm just kind of living my life and enjoying what I do for me. And if I've met a few guys inadvertently, but nobody that I really wanted to spend much time with.
Because of Mingle, my mocktail, actually, this is Mingle, my mocktail, we're talking, I was saying something for Valentine's Day, single and ready to mingle. And I was talking to a couple of people I know who are in the dating app business as a business. Someone wanted me to invest. And I know someone who runs one of the apps and is also a matchmaker. And I don't know. I think you have to be on the, I can't believe I'm saying this, because years ago, I was the last one to even contemplate this. I felt so exposed, but I think the apps are amazing. You just have to like know how to play them. I think it's like anything else. I think it's like being in a bar, and some people have game in a bar and some people don't. And some people have game on the apps and some people don't. And I think
I think I have game, but the one thing that I cannot surmount or haven't been able to is age. And I will say, I've gone out with a few men who say, you know, you're just too independent. You're too active for me.
Great. I mean, shit. You're not going to dumb it down.
I'm out of here then.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm not talking about that. You don't have game in who you are, game in how to play the apps too. I think there's a necessary strategy in how to play the apps as a game.
Yeah.
So I don't think everybody has that. Or the patience, you get like full and grossed out. Like you're like swiping and you know what I mean? So
you gotta remember, I'm originally from the Northeast. I'm from outside of Boston. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that personality that says, you know, bless your little heart. I'm pretty direct and straightforward. And that doesn't necessarily play so well in Texas. But
that's where you are now, Texas?
I live in Austin. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Well, very interesting. I usually don't talk that much before our rewives, but I just was interested in you. So thank you. You're beautiful. And let the journey take you where it's going to go. But I just think it's interesting. Okay. So are you a Housewives fan to begin with, or is this like a new foray into it?
It has been a new foray into it for me. And I have to tell you, I struggle a little bit because the episodes I've watched from previous, you know, years or previous seasons, the brunettes I can keep straight, but the blondes all kind of look the same to me.
Okay. Well, that's funny. And well, yeah, I could see that. I could see that in certain ways with some of these girls. Well, we're going to get into it. I'm glad you have a fresh perspective. This is Beverly Hills. It's currently the most popular, most successful of the franchise. I think the one of the characters in Beverly Hills is the B-roll and showing the wealth, or, you know, at least the exhibited wealth. I'm saying not everybody has what they say they have, but they're showing whatever it is. And this is an episode that was season 7 before everybody popped off in certain ways. And I was writing this down because in certain scenes, certain women here hadn't started their Hermes era, hadn't started like their real like wealth show off era and their glam era. So we'll get into that. But all right. So these girls go to dinner in Hong Kong. They're on a trip to Hong Kong because Lisa Vanderpump is bringing them to see the rescue dogs, which is amazing because, I mean, it's we don't really think about that much. And the fact that they eat dog and there are pets, that's brutal. So that's there always needs to be on the Housewives some sort of foundation for why a trip is happening, even though production is paying for the trip and the hotel and all that stuff or getting an integration. That's that part. So I didn't see the dinner, but Lisa Rinna, I guess, had been accused of doing Xanax or taking Xanax cocktails, smoothies. And she then point blank says to Dorit, were people doing cocaine at your house? Because everyone left the table and went to the bathroom. So what do you think of this exchange?
Well, I have to say, when I heard that, it sort of came out of, in my mind, came out of nowhere.
Right.
But I thought that Dorit's answer was, I loved it. Well, I certainly wasn't, which just to me opened up a whole can of worms. You know, it's not always what you say, but sometimes what you don't say or how you say it.
Right. So you thought something did go, she did, that something did go down. It is something I can't imagine Lisa Rinna saying if there wasn't any foundation. She is a resident shitster that's no longer on the show, but it still did. When you looked at the thing from the table, like, where did everybody go? And by the way, people are stupid enough to do cocaine while shooting a Housewives show. The activation, and you would know this, and there's an activation and like a nervous system and adrenaline of shooting reality TV that like people get excited about everything. So I could see that actually happening. I don't remember the scene or anything, but I could see that actually happening. And you're right. Her answer was good.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. In that moment, they're sort of forgetting that. I love the face covering the head, and they're all sort of looking, that the dramatics were just great.
Right, because they all probably knew about this ahead of time, but half the cast is an actress. So that's the other thing. So 4 out of 6 women there are actresses. So it's like,
let me ask you, if they want to be actresses, it's questionable to me, why would you, I can think of a lot of conversations I might have with a group of women. Some women I like better than others, but would you really want to have that conversation about cocaine in a bathroom if you were an aspiring anything?
Well, that's a great question. Here's the thing about the Housewives. So one time Jill Zarin did a deal with Kodak, and Ramona on camera said to her, why would you do a deal with Kodak? It's so archaic, which like ruined the relationship. And once it's out there, the producers love that. Anything bad, the producers love. And so it's airing. So there's always going to be a risk, a reputational risk. You could have a party for your amazing product, but if someone else says something shitty about it, which invariably happened, it's happened on Atlanta with someone has their hair extensions or someone has a fitness video. Right. So someone's going to say something crappy about your brand, no matter what. And there's always going to be a risk. And that's the thing about being on The Housewives. People ruin their careers. And no matter what, no matter whether it's Kyle, Eileen, or Lisa, the same opportunities in acting don't come up. Or you have to work extra hard to get them because you've now gone on to a different type of reality TV and you're not taken as seriously as an actress. So you have to lean into this spot.
And I think that, I mean, this show has been on, you would know, how many seasons. So clearly, whatever is going on, the machinations, the families, the issues, the personal issues, people love it. It's entertaining.
Well, that's the price. The price is you're going to come in and someone's going to say you do cocaine, and that's what you have to give up to get paid and be relevant and famous. By the way, speaking of age, for many women in their 50s, where are they getting a job to make this kind of money when they've been married, they've spent their life on someone else or their kids, or they used to be, to bring up your language, used to be a countess, used to be married to a count, used to be married to a Morgan on JP Morgan, used to be married to Kelsey Grammer, they were all the plus ones. So now they are the main characters. And at this age, the price to pay is someone's going to say you did cocaine. And if someone thinks something about you, they're always going to bring it out, no matter how salacious it is, because that's what keeps you alive as a cast member on the show.
I mean, I can't argue with what you're saying, I guess, but I don't think necessarily women who do that show think of it as a pejorative situation to be in. They, you know, they've been on the show many seasons. They make money from it. They have fun. They want to do it. No one's forcing them to do it.
I agree. And it's funny because I've had this reality reckoning that I brought up because of people who have left the show and it's ruined their lives. Not really the people who have stayed on. It's more people who have left or been fired or cast aside. It's like many other things. Some people are crushing it and other people are really getting crushed. And walking into it, you may not know which pile you're going to end up in. You may not have what it takes to say that somebody else was doing cocaine.
Yeah, right. Well, and that, you know, for me, for my foray into reality TV, obviously has been The Golden Bachelor. And that's a very different situation because our women were very supportive of each other. Our show was about finding love and friendship. And it really was about that. So this seems to have a different premise.
Yes.
But there seems to be buy-in to it and certainly a great amount of financial remuneration for these women and success for the network. So, you know, what can I say?
No, nothing. We're just commenting on the episode.
I just want their clothes and their shoes and their jewelry. And I want someone else to buy them for me.
Right. Well, the thing is that at this era, it hadn't popped off yet. So Erica, the one who went to be on Young and the Restless, she came in and she changed the fashion and clothes and jewelry narrative on the show because she came in and she was in costume every scene. Like she has a different hairdo and a different outfit and a different necklace and she has a stylist crew. She ended up getting into trouble because her husband was stealing money and she got caught in the crossfire and then where did all this money come from? So there was a lot of her it's expensive to be me and the planes she was flying on and she was kind of a lot of show, but there wasn't a lot of go because he owed everybody money. So it was like a perfect housewives thing, but she came in really spending on the role and it really raised everyone else's game. At this point, Dory is doing her hair differently for events, but it's not like a full-on costume. And now in 2024, Dory, every single hairstyle moment is a moment. And Lisa Rinna used to wear the same sheath dress and the same haircut throughout an entire episode, a season. Then later on, she came in and became a fashionista and fought and copied Erica and like the different hairstyles. And even Kyle used to not, like now her Hermes bag is front and center. And like everyone stepped up their fashion game. I must give the credit to Erica. Dorit kind of copied Erica a little and then everybody copied Dorit and Erica. But I want to give the credit to the ones who started. It's really Erica and then Dorit and then Lisa Rinna and Kyle fell in. But now it's like a fashion show in 2024 of labels and logos at another level.
And I can only say that is probably not where I'll be hanging my hat next week because I'll be the one sweeping the floors and doing the dishes in the kitchen. I mean, I couldn't even imagine trying to keep up with that.
I couldn't either. It would not be enjoyable for me at all. It's not real either. That's the thing. It's not real. It's costume, but they've created this world where this particular show is more about the theatrics. And that's what The Housewives has evolved to be about in 2024. It's more of a stage performance than like a gritty, real performance.
Okay, but let me ask you, do you think, I think a lot, again, my first foray into this was Golden Bachelor, but I think there is such a place for reality TV. I think a lot of my friends, my daughter watches a lot of reality TV, and they all say the same thing, that it's entertaining, it's fun. They like, they like feeling and being a part of someone's exciting, quote unquote, life.
Right.
You know, what's wrong with that? I don't really have a problem with it.
No, I don't really have a problem with it either. Unless people are being exploited. And that's what I was saying before, but that's a complete separate topic. Everyone here wants to be here. And at this point in 2024, yes, after all that's been discussed and said, people are there because they sign up for it. I agree with you. You sign up for it and that's what it is. There's been enough knowledge about the fact that it could go sideways or you could do really well. And that's a risk you take. So whenever people ask me if they should do it, I really don't even answer because it's really up to them. They've seen what it could be or what it can't be.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The woman, Eden,
yeah,
she's the one who buys Erica a ring. I didn't hear her say a word the whole entire episode. I don't even know how many episodes she was on or how many seasons. She could have been a mummy.
So that is so funny you say that, because when I watched the episode and, you know, they at the beginning, they show the women and who they are, their names. And then this woman, Eden, shows up buying a ring for her friend. And I'm like, wait, did I miss something here? Because I don't know who she is. I still don't know who she is.
I still don't either. So yeah, don't worry.
Well, you know, okay, good. I feel a little better. It gives me hope that I can pop into an episode and people go, wait, what's she doing here?
No,
who's Kathy?
I have no idea. No idea where she came from. And I don't know how long she was on. I assume one season.
Yeah, the part that fascinated me was PK, Dorit's husband, seemed so invested in talking about Lisa, you know, just talking about.
I love you. Exactly. We're going there. Do you think it was gauche to ask about the price for the ring, even within the constructs of a television show, or it gave context? Like,
I mean, I think to me, I didn't even go there where I was laughing. I picked up right away that she was giving the foreign exchange. So it was not 11,000, whatever. It was yen or whatever the heck, or whatever it was. So, but to me, it was comical that, it was only $172. Never mind. Buy me something more expensive. I mean, because she did not pick up on it right away that it was not U.S. dollars.
Well, if it was 17,000, she was going to have to be this girl's best friend.
I mean, I can't be bought. Are you really going to, if someone buys me a $17,000 ring, I'm going to ask, have you lost your mind? I mean, that's just not, That's not what friendship is.
I know. It seems like that girl, because she doesn't have, isn't speaking a lot and probably can't find her way to get in like the double Dutch game and jump in. She was buying to like, you know, I get it. I see that. And it was only $170. But these women, many of these women can be bought. So it's expensive to be Erica. And if it was $17,000, Erica would have just had to, you know, take a hit and be her best friend. So luckily it was $170 and we move on. What did you think of the dogs? Oh my God, I thought it was so sweet and sad and it broke my heart.
It did. My family's always had dogs. My daughter rescued a dog. I rescued two kittens at 5 weeks old from the pound. We're a big rescue family here. So yeah, that's hard to watch seeing that. I love that there is that message coming through. That's a good message to come through that show. So yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, it's a great message to come through that show. I totally agree. And Lisa Vanderpump, who is, you know, running that dog charity, she's the one on the show that's the most, it's funny that I think the audience either never totally caught on to it or really caught on to it and doesn't care, because she's like is it Crystal Carrington? She's the one who's like constantly working machinations in her mind. Like every word she chooses, it's like designed for some strategic purpose. Like she's moving the board around at all times.
Yeah, although maybe, but I also think she seems to be somewhat empathetic to at certain times in the show. I can't pull one up right now in my head, but the thing that stood out to me about her, I want to go to one of her parties.
Oh, yeah.
I want that guy to come and decorate my house. I mean, or can I be one of her ponies?
I know.
I mean, I want the glitter on my nails. Come on.
That's why she was a big loss on the Housewives. Like they lost her, and some Housewives, I mean, she was a good housewife to begin with, but then also losing the character that like has the trappings. You know what I mean?
Something just struck me when you said she's a good housewife. The irony of saying that, because traditionally when you say someone's a good housewife, in my generation, you know, they keep a clean house, they take care of the kids, they do the laundry. Being a good housewife in this series has nothing to do with any of those things.
Nothing. It has to do with entertaining. And like I said, being strategic and having a good backdrop, which she has. And she's got some good lines, but she's like a nice villain. I can't explain it. She's like a villain because, you know, she's always like plotting something, but it's landing. That's why she's a good villain. It's landing.
It's landing and it's working. And you know, to your point, if you're smart enough to be on that show, you better be smart enough to figure out your next steps.
She was always playing the game, and other people are pretending they're not playing the game, and like it's real when it isn't real. So at least she's like fully coming out with it. But some people are. People would say I was certainly real, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, my middle name is real. So, I mean, they would get what they paid for with me, I can assure you.
Yes. So, Erica and Eileen, I liked that acting scene. I thought Erica was pretty good.
I did too.
I thought she was all right.
I thought it was very sad that they ruined that pretty jacket with the coffee. But, you know, that's just the price of...
That's the price. And it was probably a cheapo jacket, not a couture jacket. But PK, so... It's really interesting because he's like a housewife. Simon years ago was on our show. It was Alex's husband. He was like in the drama. He was at women's events and he was in the drama. And you earlier were picking up that it's like almost like they've given him the script ahead of time for the scene and he knows the beats to hit. So he's going to have to like take a few swipes at certain housewives. But, and there's also something admirable. He lives for his wife. He's loyal to her to a fault. He'll buy her anything, even if he probably can't even afford everything he's buying her because they live a life that's crazy. And, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about that. But, you know, it's endearing that he loves her so much, but every single word is another swipe at another housewife.
Well, wait, can we just back up for a second? How many times, I was trying to think, did my husband ever pick up the phone and call me in the house and say, honey, come down and have a drink with me?
Oh, right.
I mean, let's start with that.
Yep.
And then, you know, he stands across, he's serving her. That whole scene was incredible. But I think that, again, in my life, my husband would no more have wanted to be involved in that. So I was fascinated that he, it seemed like their cocktail hour chat. Literally, that's, you know, how was your day, honey? Well, you know, I had a business meeting. Their day was about what Lisa Renna had. I mean, it just wouldn't happen in my world.
By the way, it would never happen in my world. I've never dated a man who would be interested in going deep on something like that. And like you said, so invested in a very nice, politically correct, diplomatic way. But it's a little, and I think it's gone on throughout the season because certain husbands want to be main character energy. And like some husbands dissolve in the background and some jump right in front of that camera and love it. Like there's a guy on Jersey, Melissa Gorga's husband, he jumps right in front and loves to be the star. Simon on our show used to. Some husbands really like the light. You could tell that PK likes the light and wants to be part of it. And the producers like him too, I'm sure. And
I'm sure.
You know,
sure.
And it does seem a little put on, this like cocktail hour and call. It seems a little put on for the show.
Again, in a vacuum, yes. Because he's just there for that scene and obviously it develops and there's more going on. It was the same thing with Mauricio when she's cutting with the pinking shears, cutting the dress off, and he's kind of looking at, the word ennui came to mind, like completely bored.
Right.
With the whole,
right. Like he gives a shit about a lace bottom dress. Exactly. And he's saying that's fair too.
Again, I just went back thinking, you know, my husband would, you know, get the thing on. We got 15 minutes. Let's go. It would not be lounging in a chair talking about the issues around one leg longer than the other or a dress. I found that humorous myself.
Yeah. Well, that's listen, you're not watching to watch everybody just like you. You know, if I have had Paul like carry my beach tote because it's a little heavy because it's carrying both of our stuff, like he doesn't want to be wearing like a Chanel beach tote. Isn't like the way that, and no one's even seeing it. It's just like he would not be into like doing a gaggle of gossip on the Housewives either.
But let me say, Bethany, isn't part of this show, again, the people I know who are really invested in the show, they love the labels and the looking at the homes and all the quote unquote finery. That's part of what makes this show so successful, I think.
No, that's that it's performative and people are cast now more than ever for how wealthy they look to be. There could be an amazing character and there have been, but their apartments aren't great and the producers are kind of telling them they have to improve their whereabouts. And when I started, we didn't even have hair and makeup. And you're looking at me right now, I have no makeup on. I'm sitting home in a cardigan. This is what it was like in the beginning because I thought I was doing a reality show. And I do think there are shows like that that are, it's funny because no one calls it this. It's supposed to be a docuseries. And they don't use that name that much anymore because it really doesn't feel docu.
I'm surprised it's supposed to be a docuseries?
100%. That's what it's pitched as initially, a docuseries. So that's we've never discussed this before, which is interesting. Housewives was intended and sold in rooms to be a docuseries. That's what the format is for Housewives. And a lot of these shows, they don't really use that terminology that much, presumably because it doesn't feel docu at all anymore. But if you look at the first seasons of myself and Jill Zarin and Alex and Simon, the houses mm-hmm. weren't perfect. We weren't perfect. The backdrops weren't perfect. There was no makeup or the glam wasn't perfect. It was more docuseries because it wasn't so performative and such theatrics. And there's something to be said for that as well. That also is not like Golden Bachelor, but it was very textured and very more like independent television show than it is now.
So why do you think the evolution has brought it to where it is today then?
Because the success of it in watching people in this fishbowl made other people watch how it's done, how the sausage gets made. So you watch Teresa flip a table, you're worried you're going to go on the show And what are you going to do to top that? Or you saw Kyle in her Hermes bag, or you saw Erica in her closet. So you're going to come on the show as a new person 15 years later, and you're going to show your stylist and your house, and you're going to probably not even be able to afford that house, but you're on the show. So you think you have to show all of that. So it's like the bar keeps getting raised. When we were on, it was a docuseries about us. But then the next season, someone saw what we did and they had the knowledge of the show. They watched it. We'd never watched it. It never existed. So
you're giving me a great idea. They should now just throw in occasionally someone who is a really normal, like me.
They can't. It's not normal, but they tried to have Denise Richards on and she did do well. But the problem was she was showing up on a vacation on a balcony wearing jean shorts, which is what a normal human being would wear. They were wearing ball gowns. She looks like shit compared to them. The audience is then pressuring her. She was a Bond girl. She's stunning. But the audience is then pressuring her, pressuring other people, get your teeth done, get your whatever, because everybody's in high def, which we weren't in HD. And everybody, so it's just like you can't go in there and be in an IKEA apartment like I was when I started. And sit next to Erica, the audience, or you are going to feel strange.
Okay, so that just underscores what I'm saying, that the escapism, the voyeurism, if you will, like imagine yourself in that life, is what is popular and what people love, and that's
it's changed, it's evolved, and many people agree with that. The ratings are not what they used to be, partially because, you know, how much too much of a good thing is too much, partially because of the whole landscape of entertainment has changed. And also many people are turned off by it. They don't want, you know, they don't believe it's real. You know, the trips are not really them. People used to think that I was really taking people on a trip or some. So, you know, it's just a different story now. So anyway, I don't know why we got so into that. Who cares? But that's just an education on what it is and what it used to be. It doesn't make it bad, but it's just, it has to constantly evolve.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
So Kyle had a show. I liked seeing her in that role. I think it was only one season, but I liked seeing her as a producer. And there was some drama about it because it was a show that was about her family, and it kind of created a rift between her and her sister, Kathy Hilton. And I was I don't know if I was glad that it didn't continue or not glad, but it caused a problem in her family. It was like a sore spot. So when that dissolved, it created a way for them to get back together.
And I will say, when I watched that scene, that just seemed inserted into the show as well, that the production scene, kind of, there wasn't any context for someone who hadn't followed it all the way along.
That's fair. It looked like a commercial, because that's a situation where a housewife has really urged production to include something that they're doing into the show, likely in exchange for something else. I'll do this over here, but you have to put that on. That happens a lot. Like, Lisa had to lobby to get the dog thing as the trip up because five other people are lobbying for their thing to be the trip or the finale or the scene or the dinner. So that's another thing that used to not be the same. Now it's like a competition kind of. People really want their thing to be highlighted.
So when you did your show, when you did the New York, it sounds like it's just completely different from when you did it.
It's completely different. And to be honest, I am entirely responsible for starting the model of monetization of products through reality television. Even the Kardashians followed me because we had the same agent, and their agent then followed me by inserting their Sears deal into E. So because I started the whole entire practice of inserting a brand into reality television, I started that with my Skinny Girl cocktail. The Kardashians followed with the Sears deal in the Kardashian show, and all the other housewives, seeing my success, really wanted to have something to market. And PK, when he met me with Kyle and Boy George, said to me, Dorit is doing the show because of what you did. And I've heard that from housewives to this day who join. They want to do what I did with Skinny Girl. So that's good, because why else would they be on the show and expose their lives? Bad, because the audience wants it to feel real, not like every scene is a commercial.
Yeah, but I hear that. I don't see anything necessarily wrong with that. It's just smart. You're smart marketing. It's smart. And I don't think it really necessarily takes away from the entertainment of the show. I think that is the name of the game in reality TV. It's entertainment. It always has a bigger reason. It always has a reason to exist. As I said, Golden Bachelor, the bigger reason, of course it entertains, but the bigger reason is people of a certain age being able to find love and have a second chance at love and making good friends. And that's the message.
Well, that's,
but it's also
That you have to have a thread and a foundation, but then you're entertaining. Exactly. But that was a great thread.
So on the Housewives, I think it's just smart. It's smart business, figuring out how you want to market whatever your brand is, whatever your thing is, while you're entertaining people.
100%.
Nothing wrong with it.
And it's now become, you need all this content. You have all these different shows and you need this content. And it's become a circular reference because women go on the show who are not famous, and then they're shooting scenes with photo shoots because of the fame that the show has generated. So that's evolved too. In the very beginning, on shows like The Kardashians or Jersey Shore, or, you know, even though they were instantaneously successful, they would never show the paparazzi shooting you, because the paparazzi was shooting you because of this show that you're on, which is portraying you as a real person. So it's become a circular reference, if that makes sense. It's very, very meta.
Total sense. But I think My experience has told me people are very willing to suspend judgment and suspend reality, if you will,
yes,
for a reality show. And
that
okay.
used to not be. Now they break the fourth wall. Yes, 100%. That's all evolved. And that's interesting. I think it's always been interesting. Like they'll show a camera guy in a fight with someone or something. They never used to show things like that. Now they'll show, you know, a girl yelling out production when she wants a scene to stop. They don't, that's new and evolving. Erica, I recognize on the show, making a meal out of the show early. Like she came in and was like, she had this pop career that she was sort of really going to start. And then she's like, I'm going to be on Young and the Restless. And she later did, I think, like a shoe deal. And, you know, Chicago as I think it's Roxy. Like, I really appreciate that she came in and was like, I'm going to devour the show and I'm putting on all the hair and makeup and doing it. Like, she really devoured and ate the show. It was like, I'm going to be a housewife. It's going to take every opportunity.
And strong, a strong woman who has a plan and she executed it.
Yeah.
Good
I
for
mean,
her.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I mean, she just came and she was like, I'm saying yes to everything, whatever it is. And she does. I don't know overall. I don't know what she's doing now, but it just feels like she just came in and was like, I'm making a meal out of the show no matter what. I'm taking everything.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely had a strong personality. I saw myself in her a little bit just in the, you know, strength of personality. But I have nothing but admiration for women who can look, scan the landscape and say, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how it's going to work for me.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I think
men
that
all the time.
Exactly. I think that the Kyle situation is really interesting because that was years ago. This is the first time we see her allude to the Chi and again, because of the show. You know, Mauricio's business was much more successful because of the show. He was a successful realtor, but this popped him off. So they both popped off. This show benefited her career, and his career benefits her because, you know, they're 50-50 down the middle, been married for 100 years. But it was the first time you hear her say that, like, I'm really busy and he's really busy. And so we have to make the time. And he came to visit her. And I did not think of it at the time, but knowing what I know now, you're thinking of it's going to be a struggle, both of them having their careers and how are they going to really connect and stay together. And in life and in their marriage, there's been a division now. They both, you know, and it's kind of her turn. And this was a foreshadowing that I wasn't expecting this early on.
But again, yeah, I don't, you know, I know about as much of what you just said that they're, you know, the marriage, they're separated. But I think people, that part is real for people. You know, how many women are successful women, successful men? That speaks, I think, speaks to women who are going through that. They feel validated. They feel like she may be in the limelight, but they're living the same kind of issues and the same. And I think people like that. People like
oh,
to
no,
feel
that. No, yeah, it's been all his her turn. Now it's supposed to be mine. Or yeah, I agree.
But at the end of the day, you know, he's been very successful. She has, and that's the price you pay, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, no, and they live in Beverly Hills ish. You know what I'm saying? They live in that world of fame, and now they're on reality television. And he just did Dancing with the Stars, and you know there is a price. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it with another person that was public. It would annoy me. Like you were with someone who wasn't part of that, but like she came in they just lived in like fame central. And so it was inevitable. And I don't know how anyone could sustain a relationship on that show, much less in that business, much less in that town. So I give them credit for all these years and raising well-adjusted girls and for, you know, consciously uncoupling, but it's a price and you see it's been paid.
Okay. But you know what? I told you I live in the real world. I think it's the price people pay in marriages when they consciously uncouple or when it's just hell and brimstone and fire. I mean, those are relationships and that's real life. And this is played out obviously more publicly, but I just think that is, we talk about reality shows not being real, but that's real life. And
No, that's real life. And also they could have easily been out of the limelight and broken up after 27 years of marriage. Doesn't mean, but And also they were on the same page in doing this journey, like making this money for this business together in a public way. If you're not on the same page with someone else, that would be hard too. If you had somebody who did not want the limelight, you wanted it, you wanted to go blow your business up on television. So they were on the same page and they're still on the same page with their kids. It's just interesting that this showed up so early about having to find a way to support each other. And 27 years is a success. It's an accomplishment.
Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah. So that was the show. That was the Beverly Hills Housewives. You lost your virginity.
I just really wanted to go to that party. I really wanted, and the gold foil hair. We didn't even talk about the gold foil hair.
I wasn't a big fan of it, but I like the commitment to it.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I thought I couldn't have done it, but she wore it well. She committed to it for sure.
She's the resident fashionista and she really loves it. And she takes the time and, you know, she really makes an effort. Like it's again, something that used to, every time we talk, it's something that used to not happen. It used to be the people just like, it was real. So that you just wearing whatever you normally would wear and, you know, doing your own makeup. And that's how Lisa Rinna came into the show. And she came out of the show a full fashionista that now goes to fashion weeks and has her daughters that are models and like a different game. She's a different visual person than when she entered, as is Kyle in some ways, as is Dorit in some ways. They like made it a show. And when we were on, I remember when I left for three seasons, I came back and it had just started. And it used to bother me when people would have glam squads come with them to the Berkshires, because to me, it didn't seem real. It felt for the show. And to your point, it's a different show now. And that's part of the performative theatrics. That wasn't the show that I signed up to do. I signed up for the docuseries. I didn't sign up for the circus. So it's just a different thing.
Yeah, I get that. One thing you've clarified for me, now I know why all these women are, you know, size zero, is they don't have time. They don't have time to eat. They're too busy.
And Ozempic.
Oh, you know.
No, really? Yeah.
No, I believe you.
Yeah.
You know, I hope we don't find out down the road that there's some pathological problem to using Ozempic if you don't really need it. That would not be.
Looking good and looking rich is what matters on The Housewives. And that mission has been accomplished.
Okay. Well, I have something to work towards now.
Absolutely. You have something to aspire. So, all right. Well, it was so nice to meet you and talk to you and get to know you.
It's so nice to meet you. You know, you can send all those single men my way.
Okay.
As long as they're not used to guys.
All right. And anybody listening, if you know anybody that would be right, please message us at the show. We'll pass it along. Awesome.
It's so nice to meet you. And someday I want to go shopping with you.
Perfect. And one of the women who's listening to the show, their father or husband's friend or somebody will be interested in you. So let's see what happens.
Okay. Well, your lips to their ears.
And right around the block is Valentine's Day. So in the name of love, let's see if we've got any ideas, folks. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a good day.
You too.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.